Welcome to the Longest Stride Podcast. Each week, we bring you engaging conversations with the global running community. We interview community builders and leaders and the incredible runners who inspire us all. We're by runners for runners. And now, here's your hosts, Jonathan Greenwald and Andre Morgan.
Welcome to the Longest Stride Podcast. We've been very fortunate to speak with so many inspiring people in the running community. And if you're listening to the podcast from the beginning, you know we often ask our guests who we should speak with next. I believe, Dre, today's guest has been recommended the most times. And when you learn about the impact she's having on the Toronto Run community and community in general, you'll understand why. Fatma Ramadan is a community builder, leader, and an inspiring Muslim hijabi woman. When Fatma didn't see other runners who looked like her running through the streets of Toronto, she created a space for them. A woman's run has been highlighted in The Star and several online publications, including Simcoe.com and About Islam. And we're thrilled to welcome to the podcast Fatma Ramadan.
Welcome. Hi, guys. Welcome. What an intro. That was so kind of you.
Well, if we have nothing else, we have our intros.
I know, right? You're trying to tell your story properly, right?
That's crazy. I'm going to let my mom listen to that first part and be like, are you proud? Let me hear it.
But seriously, if you listen to any of the prior episodes, seriously, I've lost track of how many times. And every time someone says, you should get Fatma on, we're trying. You're not currently in Toronto, I know, and schedules are very, very difficult with everything that's going on in the world. And you're many miles away from us. So we really appreciate you taking the time to do this. It's great.
No, of course. And I've definitely actually been tuning into the episodes. I've been greatly missing my Toronto people. And whenever I'm mopping the floor or working or running, I'll play like one of the podcasts with like Quentin or Pedro or Jamal or Melissa. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting a fix of my people. So it's been really great, like being able to like just pull up an episode and hear people that you hold near and dear to your heart and get a good fix, you know? So yeah, thank you guys.
Love it. Trey, let's dive in.
Yeah, that's awesome. I had no idea you listened so intently. So let's get into it where we're asking you, where did you grow up?
Abu Dhabi. So right in the United Arab Emirates. And I was born and raised here 17 years. And then I bounced back to Toronto for university.
Oh, very cool. And then, because, you know, we're going to get into, you know, the reason why you're on here. And I did mention it in the bio a little bit. How did sports kind of shape who you are? Were you always athletic growing up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part. And my late father and my mom were very keen on us being like as part of so many different activities. So I remember I didn't really stick to one sport per se, but I did gymnastics, volleyball, swimming, leaned extra on horseback riding, not much of running, actually not at all. That came way later. But yeah, for the most part, I've been kind of well-versed with the sports. And it was like the thing that I enjoyed more than academia or any of that. So yeah.
When did running start for you?
And it started, I want to say like 3-4 years since I've been in Toronto. So I want to say, like, should I say an age? I don't know, which I don't mind. That's fine.
No, I think part of it is like, okay, I've you know, been doing recreational running for 3 years, and then that's good enough. Because for us, it's like, it'll let Jonathan and I know that, hey, we might have crossed paths or be part of the same crew, but just the fact that you've been, you know, actively doing stuff in Toronto. So that's where I'm trying to come from.
Yeah,
maybe
no,
you
no.
ran. Yeah, maybe you did stuff back home, right? So where did that start for you, just running?
Yeah, so definitely not back home. It happened in Toronto, and it was mainly because I want to say like in my third or fourth year of university, at which point I was going through a little heartbreak, and I was like, you know what, whatever, I'm just gonna get fit and focus on my health, right, and fitness. And so it just really purely started with not even running, because again, I genuinely kind of still despise running. It's not my thing. So my relationship with it was like, I would just remember, like, if I'm sprinting towards the bus, or, you know, and then your lungs are on fire and your throat, and I'm like, what am I doing to myself? So it wasn't, I didn't really understand how you can pace yourself and all these different aspects of running, right? So yeah, it was power walking for the most part. And then I started getting colder, obviously, in Toronto winters. And I took that into indoors with where the treadmills, with it, like, just treadmill, an hour on the treadmill, and that's it. So it was, again, like, very, like, just minimal. Like, not, I don't want to say minimal, but it was just, like, very, like, power walks into, like, 1 hour walks or slow jogs on the treadmill. And also another part of it, to be honest, is also, like, kind of shame in how will I look like running around with a scarf. And I know a lot of it is in your mind, but it's also, I didn't see it. So I'm like, no, I'm going to look like a fool.
And that's in, you know, and I think a lot of times we ask these questions because we're telling a story and we're kind of bringing to life experiences of guests on that join us on the podcast. And we did mention in the beginning about a little bit about why you started the a woman's run, which we'll get to in a few minutes, I'm sure. But actually, it's hard to say because you didn't really start running until you moved to Toronto. I was going to ask you. So you're not in Toronto right now. Mm-hmm. You went back home to visit your family. Are you running there now?
I twisted my ankle, but like prior to that, I was also just simply running behind my younger 10-year-old brother and just collapsed on the floor. And I'm like, thank you so much. So it's, I'm just kind of recovering from that, but, I've definitely been running. And, when the weather now is way, cooler. So I've been taking advantage of that because when Abu Dhabi summers hit, they hit.
Yeah.
It's kind of impossible to run outdoors.
It's impossible. Yeah, well, and I say that about winter. No, but the reason why I asked that question, Fatma, is do you feel that what you just mentioned before, how you felt, the word you used before, like ashamed, not ashamed, but you didn't feel like comfortable running through the streets of Toronto wearing a scarf. You obviously don't get that same feeling when you're in Abu Dhabi, right?
I'm not gonna lie, I won't say like I fully don't get that feeling, and it's not really a conscious thought, right? Like when I felt ashamed to be running outdoors in Toronto, it wasn't like, oh my god, I feel ashamed, like I shouldn't be running. It happens, so it sneaks on you in ways where you don't even realize, especially it's just in the mere fact of, oh, I don't see it, right? So it's not like a thought where, oh, I can also reach for that sport and try to practice it, right?
Yeah.
And here, I think, again, there aren't many, like, or I personally don't see it on the streets, and I've just been here for a few months. But again, it's way more comforting because, way more comfortable because it's my people. They get me. If they see me with my scarf, I don't have to worry too much about how they're perceiving me or if I'm acting right. And as a Muslim hijabi woman, you feel that pressure on you to represent. At least for me, I put that upon myself, where I'm like, oh, like just make sure you're 24/7 on your best behavior, so no one thinks like, oh, you're uneducated or you, I don't know, like or you don't or like I don't know, you fall into the stereotype or the negative stereotype. So yeah,
got it, and it makes sense.
Yeah, and a part of you wearing a scarf and anything on your appearance is part of your identity. So I could imagine you were not battling, but almost as if seeing if you had to shape how you appear to fit into, you know, Toronto running community. And none of this is to bring out something controversial, but I wonder if you seeing other people run or them inviting you in change your perspective on it.
Oh my days, no, for sure. And I'm going to be very transparent. I never really had a very straightforward journey, even with my scarf, right? There were times where I felt very unapologetic about it and was able to like be unfazed regardless of the spaces I'm in. And Toronto running spaces are like one of the warmest communities out there, like incredibly welcoming, but it does creep in you in ways where you're like, oh, like I should run with my sports bra, or like, you know, it's way easier running with less layers. And I've definitely had my moments where I'm like, oh, I want to explore more of that and what that looks like. But at the end of the day, like, I do hold near and dear to, like, the scarf, like, I hold it near and dear to my heart, and I understand why I'm doing it and the beauty of it. So you circle and come back to it, and I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, it's definitely been a journey. So it hasn't been just very straightforward, and I'm very proud of that, and I embrace all of it. So yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I love that. And so now you start running in Toronto, and you start getting comfortable with running in Toronto. How did the experience at Nike Run Club kind of inspire or shape your running career?
Oh my days. I feel like whenever I speak of it, I sound like they paid me or I'm sponsored. Which I'm not, but no words will like do it justice in terms of explaining how I felt in that space. So initially, like, I would see groups running and I'm like, excuse me, like, where, how, like, how do I join this? because prior to that, I would just be running all by myself or on the treadmill. So from the treadmill, I mustered up the courage to like run on the streets, and then I would see groups running, right? So then I saw I don't know how, but I stumbled across the Nike Run Club, and I went in and I was like, excuse me, this loft has like 100 people, or it felt like there was like 100 people in there. It was packed, and it was like 3 times a week where they would meet up and go out on runs. And obviously going in, I was so nervous, like, naturally speaking, I'm someone who's anxious by nature, but also, you know, you're tapping into a new space and it's foreign territory, so it you will feel like, what am I doing? And then again, all I knew about running was my 1 hour on the treadmill, at one pace, 1 hour. I didn't really understand what kilometers looked like or pace or none of that. So I remember the first day, like, my first time going there, we had a track meet, and I could not catch up, and I also tagged along the faster pace, not knowing what I was doing. And the pacer was so nice, and he was trying to talk to me and keep a conversation. But I was like, I'm dying. I obviously didn't say that, but I was like, I literally couldn't catch my breath. And but I obviously maintained the conversation. And then when we got to the track, I snuck and I left and I took the TTC back home. And I'm like, no, this is hard. But no, I love sports, and I was like, no, you know what? You're going to keep showing up and making this happen, and religiously showed up to all three meets for the next 4 months. And I don't know how, but being in the space allowed, like, just, I don't know where I got the confidence to be like, no, I'm gonna fit across that full marathon finish line, right? And it was through that community and through the people and through, I don't know, they have that power to like make you question your limitless potential, right? And I'm like, okay, like, so beyond anything, honestly, just that space being so welcoming, and again allowing me to like question, like, oh no, I can do things that I never thought I would be able to achieve and cross. And going into that space, I didn't have any expectations what community or what I would be gaining out of it. Again, with community and the concept of that, most of the sports I would do prior to the Nike Run Club experience were very individual sports. So honestly, it caught me by total surprise when I, like, my 4 months there, and how much I gained from it, and what community even means, and that whole concept of it, and how powerful it is, like, tying it back to it allowing you to genuinely push yourself into spaces and like goals that you would have, I know for a fact I would have never really thought to do a full marathon. And the beautiful thing about it is that it's not like they cheer you, oh, like, good job, you can do a full marathon. Like, they're actively there. The people that you meet through the run spaces, like, they're actively there on each one of your runs. I remember even with a full marathon, Rachel, she was one of the Nike pacers. She had just finished her full marathon, the same race, and she's like, I'll come and pace you at the 36K. At which point, I was, like, crawling. And at the 36K mark, and again, honestly, I would see my house, because the Scotiabank Marathon obviously is downtown, and that's where I'm based. And I see my house, and I'm like, excuse me, I'm gonna like just walk home and, you know, not like continue. But I was reminded, like, 36K point, Rachel's gonna be there, and she said she's gonna pace me. So I continued crawling and walking, and then at the 40K point, though, that was like the more the crazier point for me where a bunch of the people from the Nike Run Club were there as a cheer squad. And I finished my full marathon at a relatively longer time than I had even anticipated. And I remember thinking, I'm sure they're gone. Like they're not there, and everyone went home. But no, like they were there, and confetti and cheers. And that really genuinely like gave me the extra like boost to finish the full. And I remember thinking exactly that, what I experienced at the 36, at the 40K mark, the whole of the Nike Run Club, all of that sense of community, I want to replicate again for my friends, because all throughout I'd be like, yo, like X person, come and join this and this. And they would here and there, but I just genuinely wanted more of that. And unfortunately, the Nike Run Club had closed down, like the physical space and the run meets, they kind of like stopped. So I was like, no, like I really, really wanted more friends and for myself to even experience this. So yeah, that's definitely the inspo behind AWR.
Yeah. And then the fact that you've got support from not just the community in general, but your first marathon, and that itself, you just walked us through like each of the little bit that you on how you felt in your 40K into it, which, you know, you only had one more K to go. So I was surprised that you were like, yeah, I'll just get it done. But yeah, we know what crew does to us, but for you to like outline that and make sure you hit every point of it, it's super special. And no, we want to get into, you know, we've witnessed the insurgence of, and maybe insurgence is not the right word, but the fact that BIPOC is more important than ever right now, because we want to shine a light on different spaces for different individuals that look differently. So mm-hmm. explain a woman's run to us, and then the entirety of where you've seen it going next.
Honestly, like, starting AWR, it was not really calculated. I wasn't really thinking like, I'm going to do this. Like, I thought to myself, I want to replicate what was happening in the Nike Run Club. And also, it's just going to be like a short-term thing. With AWR, I had reached out to Mark Nabata, who worked for Trevor Peters, which is associated with Nike, asking them to do AWR, to make it happen, because I didn't think I could and I still don't think I can really lead something like that, right? So, they said, like, do it, and we're going to fully support you in whatever way and capacity you guys need us to. So, for me, it was very short term. I knew I needed, like, we wanted an activation in the city. It was going to push a number of girls to, and for volume one, that was like the exact goal. Have as many girls as we can get come out and sign up for a 5K, 10K, whatever race they wanted. It was for the Scotiabank one. And we were going to train them, and they were going to run the race. And that was going to be an enough, like a good enough boost for them, at least in my mind, to continue their fitness journey, right? And also just see the beauty of community, because I already knew that there are so many dopas existing run clubs in the city and activations happening in the city that are ongoing, and that they can then and later on reach out to after they got that boost and got a taste of what community feels like, right? And also dare to sign up for a race and train and also make it happen and see that they are capable and they also can claim a spot like that. So after we wrapped volume one with Britt, and that's another story that I want to show credit for Sarah, because she honestly carried the whole thing. So she, Britt Hearn trained us for volume one, and we had 21 girls and they raced. And you know, the goal for me was like, okay, like let's wrap it up here. But then I saw the number of minority women that would show up, and specifically Muslim women that would show up, and how much of a difference it made and how excited they were about the next thing. And I thought maybe it's not really a temporary thing, and it needs to be a constant thing, that a constant activation and a constant programming to more have like to have a more long-term effect. And I genuinely saw it, right? So I would see how, like, initially I would take some of my friends to, like, obviously AWR, but then I'd be like, oh yeah, there's this other run club, like East Run Club, X, Y, and Z Club. And then, you know, initially it was like me taking them, but then they didn't need me no more, and they were like comfortable and confident enough to just reach out and enter these spaces with little or no intimidation. So it's there. I think there's always a psychological barrier whenever you're tapping to a new space. And with sports, there's also not only a psychological barrier, but a physical barrier. So if we can break the psychological barrier and that intimidation down, or make it easier and more accessible through visibility and more representation, then why not, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing.
I hope that answered the question.
Oh no, you have. Perfect. You have. I think what my point or the points you've made there just now is so many different layers to it. Not just that you wanted to encourage individuals or women to go out and run. There was already still the factor of them thinking they look different, or just even think they could do sports. But the fact that you was like, I don't really have a real outcome to this or a big plan. I just want to do this one time. And then look at it now. Mm-hmm. It just flowered into something amazing. And that's encouraging to someone else that's maybe thinking about something that's maybe it seem overwhelming, but at the end of the day, you kind of set it in motion. Now it's a foundation. And I think that speaks true.
Yeah, no, honestly, and it is overwhelming, but the only thing that made this happen and made AWR reach all these different feats was the support and the amount of people who were willing and down to help. Like, it was not me. It's so crazy, the outpour of support from the community, which was like, you can't stop. When you see that kind of support and push, you're like, okay, like, it'd be embarrassing if we stopped, right? So, yeah, for sure.
You know, and I just want to kind of bring up a point that I don't think I was thinking about before is you joked earlier about when Andre asked you a question about, should you say your age? Like, anyone that pulls up the Star article, any other articles, knows that will know that you're in your mid-20s. That's quite a remarkable thing to take on a task like this, and to create a space in a community the way you did to uplift women and specifically or especially hijabi runners, to do it at that at the risk of saying the wrong thing, a young age, is absolutely remarkable. And it speaks volumes to kind of again who you are. Mm-hmm. And just being that community leader / builder, and you took it from this sport that you felt that, well, you know, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, whether or not you loved running, because I know you, mm-hmm. you did mention some of your trials or tribulations of running so far, but to take something where you felt like your passion about seeing other women enjoy the sport, whether or not you were really getting out of it what you felt like you could, is speaks volumes to, I think, your character and kind of what you really set out to do.
These are some really huge words. Like, I appreciate it though, but I don't deserve that. Like, no. But also, I just want to say, no, I don't mind at all saying my age. I think I'm 24. 24. Yeah. No shame. I just thought I was curious if you guys wanted me to mention my age. So no.
Oh, we can find that online.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We're all good. And no, I really appreciate your words. And honestly, again, I'm just so blessed. I remember when we wrapped it at my time with Nike, the Nike Run Club, I was like, well, I'm so thankful to God for having experienced or allowed me to experience that, like allowed me to experience that space, that community, the concept of it. And it was never about running. I still hate running. I don't actually enjoy it. And it was never about it. It was the feeling that I got at the 40K mark, at the 36 mark, when someone was there, when Rachel was there helping me out. And it was every single time we would meet up and someone was down to have a chat with you and run with you and slow down whenever you were cramming. And simultaneously, life is going on for you, right? And life is not always cute. You are going through hardship and high days and low days. And every time you choose to show up for these run meets, you're showing up for yourself, but for the next person, for the person next to you. And it's just such an individual sport, but it definitely is led by community. And I'm just so grateful to have had that chance and to still be able to have that, like, the chance to experience community and being able to lean on people through sport as you're like trying to catch your breath and as you're struggling through the sport. But to be able to connect and find someone to hear you out. And no, it's such a huge blessing. And that's, I just genuinely pray that AWR continues to be a space that provides that and provides that at a very high like level. So yeah.
And you've done that and you've continued to do that. So it's working.
I hope so. I really hope so.
So what's your connection with Brit Hearn?
Ooh, I love this woman. Oh my days, I love her to death, honestly. No, she really, like, she's the backbone of AWR. I'm not playing. I saw her, I met her. I didn't even formally properly meet her. I went to this fitness event and there was, towards the end of it, there was a push-up competition and she won it. And I remember looking at her and I'm like, oh my day, strength and beauty and everything, right? So I was mesmerized by the whole scene. And from then when we started AWR, there was so much fear and doubt and thinking like, who am I to ask for support, right? Like, I didn't think you can really properly reach out to brands or instructors. I didn't have no money to like pay and constantly pay for AWR like that and pay for coaches. So I remember reaching out to her via DMs and I said, hey, like, I was such a creep. I was like, hey, like, I saw you in this event and I was wondering if you can just send us a workout to follow, just one workout to follow. And she was like, no, I'll show up in person and not to one, but to all the, like, literally volume 1, 2, and 3 wow. of AWR. It's so crazy. It's literally crazy. And she,
it's not crazy. It's a Toronto running community. It's great.
No, but I never knew that. Yeah, no. Honestly,
that's true. True.
I'm at each intersection floored by the amount of support that people are willing and down to show. Like, and they're so generous with their time and energy, right? And I think it just goes to show, like, and I, by the way, I'm not gonna lie, there were instructors though that said like, hey, they weren't down or they expected a pay or and rightfully so, but you definitely then filter through like the people who are down for the initiative, right? So I just broke down, told her what the purpose behind AWR was, and she was fully in support of it, right? Mm-hmm. And she trained us through volume 1, race with the girls. It's so sentimental. It's huge. And then through volume 2 as well and 3. I owe it all to her. She's been so great and so generous and a huge mentor for me as well, you know, in so many different ways. Yeah. I love you.
She's
listening. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're going to make her listen. But yeah. So you have no choice. You mentioned, but she is remarkable. And she's someone that, I guess spoke to every once in a while on Instagram. And I met her once for a run with Kickback. And met her in Q first time. And I came away from that run feeling so much more enriched than I was before and fulfilled than I was before I started that run. The two, they are powerhouses of human beings and just unbelievably generous, thoughtful, giving, just amazing people. It makes sense what you're saying. And I was kind of joking about, oh, that's the running community, but there's a lot of that in the running community, but there are gems like Britt and Q and others.
And you can't say enough.
For sure.
If you think about it too, just like you mentioned, you've got a few no's that when you've reached out and it turns out that those no's then led you to connect with the right people. And so it's a win.
Yep.
You know, I think it's totally a win because you could have got for a yes from someone that's not genuinely want to help. And then just kind of do it out of pity. But I think some things happen for a reason. And then this was one of those scenarios where it happened for a good reason. And I believe it gets to a point where we're praising each other just now, but you should look back at it too as well, that you've made a massive leap into a space that you didn't even think that even existed to be able to even do it. Like, should I talk to this person? But you just did it. You slide into a DM, as you said, and then kind of had that conversation. So if nothing you take away from it, saying you're not a great runner and all that stuff, I believe you're a strong community builder. How about that? And then just run with that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh God, I appreciate that. But no, I fully hear you. And also, like, Jonathan, what you were saying about kickback, any kickback run is the most wholesome run ever. Like,
wow,
absolutely one of my favorite. Yeah. Drake, did you ever get a chance to run with them?
Jonathan did. Yeah. I didn't get a chance. Jonathan went on the Sunday, and they only had limited runs.
Yeah. Well, they stopped doing it.
No, I don't remember.
It was a series, right?
It was just a series.
I think it was like a series of like six runs or something that Jamal was doing, and they stopped it. But, you know, maybe after, you know, when the pandemic kind of settles down, it might be something we can,
would you guys
consider starting this again?
And I love the fact that, so their run is not about trying to get a big crew. It's just like, hey, we're running for these kids. So it's like, you know, it's just, it's a whole different thing. That's why.
Oh my days, like obviously not this summer because of COVID, but the last summer, the summer before, I tagged along with the kickback and oh God, like my heart, like genuinely some of the best people in the city. And as you said, it's because it's youth and it's a bunch of just like fun and it's very carefree and no, Dre, we need to make this happen and we're going to all go together for sure whenever they're back.
No problem.
I know, right?
No, 100%. So,
Fatma, what's the response been like from the women you run with, from the community, from, I guess, from anyone that you come across? I'm sure we know the answer to this, but just curious and kind of what you're hearing in the community about AWR, as we're going to now call it.
With the response, I've definitely like gotten my answers through and like my why we're doing this through watching the girls that came out to AWR like soar through and break down a lot of the barriers that they have set up for themselves. So I remember even in volume one, shout out to Dahlia, but she's one of our OG girls, and I remember initially we said, hey, do you guys, you can either sign up and train for a 5K or a half marathon. And she said, I'm just going to do a 5K. And as we trained and through the weeks for the 5K girls, like you don't really need to peak to more than 4K or you know, whatever. But I remember one time as we got 2 weeks away from race day, she had sent me a screenshot of her running a 15K, and I was like, excuse me, like, and she's a first time runner, right? So I was like, what are you doing? That's amazing. And I'm like, are you considering a half marathon? ? Just 2 weeks before the race. And she's like, I think, yeah, like, and just watching that happen, and it just happened so I don't want to say effortlessly. I'm sure she put in a lot of work there, but like just very smoothly and I just like, I remember thinking like, it's so cool just watching them break through all these limits that they may have set up for themselves and make it happen. So it's been great. Honestly, another thing for me is, as I said, like watching the same girls like tap into other communities in the city and do it so confidently has been a huge high for me and an indicator that we're doing the right thing. From the community in general, like outside of like Muslim peeps, like it's been so great, and there's been so many people who are down and willing to support with their time and energy and everything, as I had said. But you know, at some point we did the CTV interview and there were some whack-ass comments underneath the video, and I was like, okay, unnecessary. Yeah, like comments like, oh, it's just a running space. Honestly, I can't even remember what the comments were, but some, like, I remember there were a bunch of negative ones kind of dismissing what AWR stands for or the importance of having spaces like it. But again, I know I'm so grounded and rooted in like our why and what we're doing and the purpose of it that it doesn't really faze me. So yeah,
I don't count those comments as feedback truly, because it, you know, feedback is something that someone will like actually say to you, like in a conversation. They'll, you know, whether it's constructive criticism or whether it's something that can help you build up or try, maybe try a different approach and like, hey, have you tried this to enhance kind of what you're working on? Comments in a, like in a message board, they're very rarely, if ever, constructive. They're usually just people just hammering around, away on keys, and for some reason feel like that's the best way to get their message across. When you're running and runners come out for the first time, whether it's women who are not hijabi runners that come out to support you and your cause and run with you because they're women, right? I mean, that's the, you know, you're creating a space for women as well, right? So, and what we're hearing and the reason why you're probably one of the most recommended guests on this podcast is because of because of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. I appreciate it.
And it's awesome because you know what? You don't breathe any energy into it because misery loves company. So the moment you respond, it'll just never end.
Big facts.
On a lighter note, I think, are you looking to do the same thing somewhere else? Are you looking to do it back home or anything like that?
Oh, I would love that. Honestly, I do want to strengthen what we have in Toronto. And maybe can then consider doing it abroad. And I feel like this is a concept that like can work and is needed anywhere. So, and everywhere. So for sure, no, 100%. And we've had a few requests like, hey, I want to do this here in my city. And I'm like, for sure. But I just want to feel very grounded and like just very, like really strengthen what we have in Toronto. And then we can diversify and find new spots for sure.
So kind of, I guess a similar question, like, is there anything you haven't done yet with a women's run that you want to try?
I actually want to challenge myself and like, with like, oh, like, is it just about running, right? Like for me, we just use running as a medium to connect and bring the girls to experience like community and also racing and whatnot. But I wonder what it would look like down the line. I would also love to, and something I'm very like now, been spending a lot of time reflecting on was, especially with my journey in Toronto and now being back in Abu Dhabi and like to my roots and all of that, it's been really interesting watching or reflecting back to like, yeah, I've had my phases where I've been out of or pushed away certain aspects of my culture and my identity and my religion to kind of assimilate, and then being back home and also I think a factor of aging and growing older and recognizing what's important and what you value, I've brought certain other aspects back into my life of my culture, identity and all that good stuff, and I would love to showcase that more through AWR. So even with the video that we did with Lululemon, the last collaboration we had with them, or actually our first collaboration that we had with them, hopefully not the last, but that was a huge one for me because I feel like I got to shine some of some of those aspects of my identity and my religion. So we had a mosque scene there and a few scenes that really, you know, that I like, that are sentimental and significant to me, right? So I would love to do more of that, whether it's through language and my religion, like Islam, and just showcase that through our work. I'm not sure how, but I know that it intersects somewhere there with sports and being active and taking care of your health and fitness. So, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. So it's part of it is to be able to create the same things, but in the environment that you want to see it in. Just as you said, there's some significant things there that's like, you know, the mosque as the background, but even just making that look normal.
Exactly. And I think that's it. Like at the end of the day, when you show up for the runs as a person of color, you have a very different background, right? At least like as compared to a white person, and you've experienced things differently. You come from a very different ethnic background. Your upbringing looks different. Your overall life experiences are very different, right? Like what you've seen from mosques to food to family to, again, it's all different. But yes, we meet up for a run, but that is who you are, right? And I think that's a big part of it, that makes us who we are, but also you take it into everything that you're doing, whether it's running, whether it's at work, whether, and I would love to look more into that and explore that further and also highlight that and not feel ashamed about it, right? For so many years, I felt like I need to assimilate and look like the next person. And no shame in that. If you are going through your journey and want to lean extra on that, then that's totally good. And I'm happy for you. But for me right now, where I'm at, I would love to just highlight that more and explore what it looks like to be grounded in your values and your roots. And I think some of those values and principles that my religion and my culture have taught me are so beautiful and are worth highlighting. So, God, I'm so excited to show Toronto what that looks like.
100%. That's so, yeah, I love how you say that. Yeah, I want to be highlighted. Put it out there. Like we speak existence to it. Yeah, and put it out there for sure.
Yes, one day.
Hijabi women aren't just running, Fatma, they're bawling. What's the connection with the hijabi ballers?
I was like, <"Yikers."
laughs> honestly, they've been really killing it. I'm so proud of them. And our connection with hijabi ballers. So when I had just when AWR was just an idea, Amreen and Farheen, the sisters behind hijabi ballers, were incredible mentors, and I reached out to them and I told them what the idea and the whole concept behind AWR was, and they were very much down for it. So up to this day, they've provided a lot of the financial support behind our activations. So and not only financial, but a lot of do this and that, and this is better for you. So a lot of guidance there as well. So yeah, very grateful for it.
That's so dope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there is this other bit that obviously being Muslim, there are some accomplishments that that stood out on the world stage, especially the Rio Olympics. Let me see if I could get her name properly now. She's a fencer. She's an American fencer, and she's Muslim.
Tehaj. Yeah, Imtiaz Muhammad, yes. Yeah.
Okay, and how do you pronounce her first name? Tehaj.
Ibtihaj. Yeah, gotcha. Also, I said it the very Arab way. Yeah,
but yeah, just seeing that's an example of something you're saying, that when you make it normal in a space, you wouldn't expect someone that's Muslim even fencing, and the fact that she podium is that she's just an untapped talent. What could you speak to that?
For sure. No, again, it's all about visibility and seeing the next person do it, right? And again, you're not consciously thinking, oh my God, like there isn't someone who looks like myself in that space, then I should, and so I shouldn't tap into it. It's not a conscious decision for the most part. It really does creep on you in your subconscious, and you deem certain things as inaccessible for you. So the more you see it, the more you're thinking, yeah, me too, I can do that. And at the end of the day, you know, for Tehaj, sports, like it was something more full-time, something that she took. And she really ran with it, and we're so proud of her. But for a lot of other people, they just want to take it at a very average, like lean into sports here and there. And why not, right? Like you're going through life, and life is not always cute. And why not provide that sport, like that run, that community for them to be able to also equally access and get that a fix from it and a refuel, so to be able to go back to their life and their day-to-day and take it full force. So yeah, like it really has been, like sports and community has been instrumental in my life, and I really think more people should get a chance to experience what that looks like.
Yeah, no question. And I look at kind of what, you know, what she did in Rio, and you know, you even think of like Rahaf Khatib, who's like the she was on Women's Running magazine in like 2016 or so. Yeah, you just it's out there, and people are starting to familiarize themselves with it, and the work you're doing in AWR, and it's an incredible thing, and representation matters across the board, and we love kind of to see this kind of stuff, because it's such a normal thing, right? It's like everyone runs. And, everyone runs. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are, you run. Mm-hmm. So it should be, you see someone running, whether they're a hijabi runner, whether they're
anything,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
BIPOC, everyone runs. Mm-hmm. So seeing the representation across the board, and especially Rahaf when she was on Women's Running Magazine, it's a beautiful thing. And you know, we just hope we keep seeing more of it consistently.
Yes, yes. And to that.
and for sure, I think just like you were saying, just to see it out there more, you then created that space. So you will see it. Look at it. There could be some untapped talent there that we have no idea that exists because a Muslim person didn't do the sport because they didn't see themselves doing it. You know, we see in world records being broken by, you know, different people from different sports, and then you're put in a box kind of scenario. But imagine if someone come from left field that you never assume that should look like a sprinter just kills it, you know, that type of stuff. But yeah, so we might have so much different things that we haven't experienced yet. But yeah, I'm happy to see something's happening.
It's so funny that you said that, because one of the girls, and she had just like a few months ago reached out to me, but one of the girls that Marwa, she shows up to our runs, and she had reached out and she's like, by the way, I just want to let you know that I'm the first to be hopefully representing Afghanistan in the sprint. I don't remember what distance sprint in the Olympics, and I'm training for it right now, and I'll be a first to be representing my country.
No big deal.
And yeah, and I'm like, excuse me, this just happened overnight. Like, this is crazy, right? But she's like, yeah, like, honestly, I'm just like very grateful for AWR and what that space provided. And
wow.
It provided me that push to like consider. But just the fact that she's doing that, I'm like, this is mad. It's huge. So
that's so amazing.
It's so crazy. I'm so proud of her.
It's amazing.
Honestly,
yeah. Oh man, she had all that talent and just like, oh yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, by the way, I'm going to be the person. Like, I'm the person.
No big deal.
No big deal.
It's so wild.
It is wild. She just took that and you know, springboard and just ran with it.
No, 100%. But imagine like how that would have been silenced or not tapped into. And even just for her individual game, like, you're not getting to experience any of that and explore like what your body is capable of doing. That'd be sad, right? And I'm so proud of her for doing otherwise.
Oh, for sure. Hey, she didn't have to adhere to any aesthetics to make it that. She's just like, yeah, I do this now. No, they have to make different apparel just for me. But yeah, I breathe so much energy into that. Good vibes only. Yeah, 100%. So what's next for Fatma? I think we want to hear the like what you're up to, and then what's next for you running wise.
I'm still gonna run at the same pace. Very comfortable distance.
still running
though. Don't come for me. No 100%. It's so funny because genuinely at some point I thought I was gonna be one of those runners who's I actually tried, like, I forced myself into like trying to shave off time and like race and like be crazy with it, and then I signed up with a coach and whatnot and tried training at 6 a.m. and I was like, what a fool, like, not me.
Time of day.
I wasn't designed for that. No, exactly. So running will, I think it will always be a big part of my life, especially when there are friends out there and people out there that I'm out on runs with. Honestly, you'll hardly ever catch me running by myself. So it's always with people. It's always for the good vibes. So yeah, but for now it's been, since I haven't been in Abu Dhabi for like this amount of, like, I've been here for a good few months, right? And and since I've been to university, I haven't gotten a chance to be with my family for this much time. So I've really been grounding myself in that. And I come from a very big and tight-knit family. And I've just really been dedicating the past few months into just being around them, showing up for them, and not taking any of that time for granted. So that's that. What else? It's been also a lot of horseback riding here in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, wow.
I love it. It's such a fun, intricate sport. It's actually pretty fascinating. I mean, just having to work with the horse and try to get the jumps in and like all of that. It's been really interesting and fun. So yeah, that's that. That's what's happening in my life.
I didn't expect the horse part because I wouldn't even know where to start. It's like, Jonathan,
no,
it's what shoes do we need?
Like, what do we need?
A
woman's
boots.
Horse.
I'm just saying, it'd be like carbon plates. Like, what's going on? Jonathan, do you know what kind of running shoes do we need?
No, I don't
you
know.
You know, sometimes I run, I just wear my Infinities, like my run, the Nike Infinity. Honestly, sometimes I'm like, perfect. No, I'm not going to fit, try to squeeze in the boots.
So, that's so funny.
Not. So Fatima, we have, we're going to ask you now to pay it forward because so many people have been asking to hear from you. Who's someone in a running community? It could be anywhere that you, do you want to hear from next?
Ooh. I would absolutely love to hear from Britt Hearn and right. Michelle. I hope I'm not going to try to even say her last name, but Michelle from Two Blocks West. They've been two instrumental people in backing AWR. So, and I think they're both obviously white, but their allyship has been so beautiful. Like they've really been two people who were so down for the cause and so willing to give it their all. And truly, even with Michelle, I didn't show her any credit through this interview, but Volume 3, everything we did with Lululemon, all the support that we got from them, the activations, the video in itself, that whole opportunity came through her and her guidance and her mentorship. And it's just, you know, honestly, beyond anything, it's been very fascinating to watch people just pour their 110% for your message and for your, you know, your little idea. So, yeah, I would love to hear more from them. They're both also runners. And I think it's not only through AWR, but they're very much involved in other, you know, run communities in the city, like in Kickback and Parkdale for Michelle. I know that. So yeah, I'd love to know how they do what they're doing and how they have all that time to squeeze. I'm sure they're like, I know they're very busy, both of them. Yeah, no,
it's, I would love to hear it's more. It's Michelle McGuire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. She'll be very ashamed of me, but...
I wasn't saying that to for you. I was just saying like for our listeners, because good thing about the internet and podcasts and technology is you can quickly look it up to see who you're talking about as you're doing it, which is
100%. So yeah, no, there's a whole team behind it. ML and Dina, they're both incredibly talented creatives, and they've like, you know, it goes from like small things to like, how are we captioning this to even bigger things like with the shoots that we're doing in any of the campaigns that we had ran. So I think the first time I felt like the team, I don't want to say seamlessly because it was a lot of challenges, and though it was so beautiful to take on that collaboration with Lululemon and just seeing how the team came together and made it happen. And again, it was full of challenges, especially because it was our first time as AWR putting something out there at that scale. So the video that we did with Lululemon, but just watching everyone do their thing. And for Emel, she styled the girls and made sure that, and for some, as you hear this, it's like, oh, it's not like, is it really important? Like we had a lot of people like, oh, is it really important to style the girls and have a specific fit for each one of them? And yeah, that is important to cater for each one of the girls that were there. A lot of them were Muslim women who chose to or are more comfortable dressing up modestly or a certain type of way. So Emma did an incredible job at doing exactly that. And the contacts at Lululemon, Mike Kuprika, he was so understanding and, you know, no parameters, no strings attached. He's like, yeah, just do your thing. And so Amel tapped into, you know, the men's section and the women's section, making sure that each girl was comfortable in what she was wearing. And that's a huge thing for, you know, Muslim women, making sure, because again, you're showing up with layers, with a scarf, and making sure that you're comfortable with, your fit and confident was a huge thing, and she really killed it. But again, it goes beyond styling, and again, a lot of the creative work that she has helped us with. And then for Dina, she actually huge, but she directed and produced the piece. And again, a huge creative behind AWR. So that she absolutely killed it. The piece really spoke volumes and was a huge hit. And I'm so thankful. Thankful for the both of them. And yeah, it's been crazy. And also, I'd love to hear from one of our girls, like Dahlia, or even Marwa. I would love to hear more about how I'd love to hear more about their journey and with it. I feel like I've been running with my scarf for a hot minute now that sometimes I forget how hard it was doing it at the beginning. So I'd love to hear from things on their perspective, on their end.
Love it. Well, Fatima, it's been truly, truly remarkable just speaking to you, the amount of wisdom and passion and creativity and kind of what you're doing.
And stuttering.
Hijabi women. It's been really wonderful. It's been a real
awesome.
Pleasure to learn from you and just keep inspiring. And, you know, we're glad that you're in this space and it's really great to see it happening. So really appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking to us and sharing kind of, your experience starting a women's run and, your experience in general. So, it means a lot. Thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for your time.
This is the Longest Tried Podcast. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.